You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
When you go to Singapore, there's a very different take on Christmas, mainly because the faith of the people is split very differently. You've got Buddhists, you've got Taoists. If you're in the Philippines, it's pretty much 90% of people know who Jesus is. Very easy to share the gospel. When you're talking about Christmas in an environment like that, you've got Islamic people, you've got Hindu people, and you're really next door neighbors. And really explaining Christmas is a little bit different. Here it's kind of like a tradition. There it's almost like the reality of what Christmas is. And I was explaining to a gentleman about the candy cane. And he was explaining, why is it that with Christmas there's so many different icons, there's so many different things that represent Christmas. And I was explaining to him how Christianity is not just a traditional religion. It's actually a religion, it's actually a faith that empowers you to see God in the different facets of your life. And when you grab a candy cane, it's actually a representative of who Jesus is. That letter J, when flipped over, is actually the staff of a shepherd. And the idea behind that tradition was the brewing of peppermint into candy was to share that with little children and to explain to them the peppermint flavor was something that was bitter and yet sweet. The idea of God dying for you, which is bitter but sweet because you're resurrected, you're saved. He came to you as a savior. And I was explaining how the red stripe on the candy cane is actually the blood of Jesus. And he was saying, I never realized that. And he said, the idea of candles and Christmas lights throughout the centuries, for 2,000 years, the practice of Christianity was Christians would put lights, they would spend money for candles, which was very expensive in the early days, in the medieval days, primarily to announce the coming of Jesus, the light of the world. And I explained about the Christmas tree and all sorts of different traditions. And I explained to him the reason why Christianity is so different. And then he began to talk about the snowman. How many of you know I didn't have an answer for that one? But the point is, Christianity is, or Christmas rather, is a very different setting when you're trying to explain to people. The story that we've been going through, the series we've been going through, is the series called Hark, a set of stories about how Jesus was ushered into earth through a message of a series of angels coming down to earth, speaking to different people. There was the moment where he spoke to Mary, and there was a moment where he spoke to the dream through Joseph, and there was a moment where now we're looking at the shepherds. And this particular story talks about that. When you're conversing with people about traditions, particularly in a place like Singapore, there's always the matter of why is it December 25? As you know, Chinese New Year follows a lunar calendar, which is very specific in the date. And I was explaining to them that the date, as far as Christmas is concerned, it's not really the actual date or the importance of it, but the significance of the date. Let me explain what I mean. I was explaining to him that in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, this particular story of the angels visiting the shepherds, it says there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Now, take note, the shepherds were living out in the fields, and this was at nighttime. In which case, when you think about it, the probability of this event happening at this time of the year is probably very low. In other words, it probably didn't happen on December 25. The reason being, when you go to Bethlehem, I've been to Bethlehem, and Bethlehem in the open fields can be very cold at December time. In fact, winter in Israel can be very, very cold. So the probability of the shepherds being out there at this time of the year is probably not the right time. However, as I was explaining to him, I was saying it's not about the date. As far as Christmas is concerned, it's about the date. In other words, it's about who you're with. It's kind of like my wife. My wife and I have now been married, I don't want to miss my Christmas moment here, 34 years, okay? Okay, hello, senior moment. And when I go out on a date with my wife, it's not really the specific date that matters. It's the date. It's the attention. It's going out in a movie and you're not hurrahing the whole of Star Wars. It's the fact that for the first time, my wife actually enjoyed a Star Wars movie, which in my opinion is the best one thus far. But the point is the date. the taking the moment, and I know this, this is true of you, this is true of me, we're all busy, we're buying candies and we're shopping and we're wrapping gifts and we're busy setting up the tree, and I just landed on the 18th of December and I had to do all of that in just this record time, and I understand. But there is a moment where we need to pause and realize that this date is about a special date, Jesus. I had a moment just like that yesterday. I had my grandson, Luke, and I was carrying him, and then while I was praying some Christmas carols at home, listening to the first Noel, and very calmly, without being emotional, I couldn't stop tears from flowing. As I held that little baby, my grandson, I was thinking about how there's no way I would have given this child for anything. And yet that's the story of Christmas. That God wanted to have an encounter with us. That God wants us to experience the supernatural in a very natural way. The presence of heaven, the greatness of heaven is not the lights, the sounds, the magic, the pomp and the power. The magic of heaven is the love of God. The creator of all the universe wanting to be with you, to favor you, to bless you, to let you know that despite who you are and where you come from and what you're going through, he is with you and he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Verse 9 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. This was the supernatural part of this story. At this point in history, very few angels have shown up in all of Israel. And at this junction in history, God sends literally this particular scene, legions of angels, to announce the coming of his son. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. In other words, the glory of God means the supernatural presence of God, which, by the way, is not something that is something you should I should be looking for. It's something that transpired on Christmas Day, something that's eternally in us on a daily basis. Unfortunately, we're very often distracted and busy with all sorts of things rather than focusing on the date. Not the date, but the date. Do you understand? The date is not the date, right? You guys are not confused. Before coming here, I received an email from an old friend. And this friend of mine was a member of this church 20 years ago. Haven't seen him in a long time. When he first came to church, he was a single man. He was actually Australian. And what happened was, at the time, this church was a tiny church at the Makati Sports. And we were playing songs, and he happened to be walking by with his Austrian wife. And they heard the songs while walking by the street and decided to walk inside the church. That morning, and this is an interesting thing because I'd forgotten the story, because that morning I was praying to the Lord, and I felt the Lord tell me that I was to expect some visitors and they were going to be foreigners. So naturally, because I was at the church, this was in the days when we did all the setup. We come to church now and everything's set up. This was in the days when we brought in the chairs, we brought in the kids' materials, we set things up and set them down. They walk into church, and obviously, because I've sensed that word from God, I walked over to them and introduced myself, and not realizing I was the pastor. And I befriended them. And they eventually became part of the church, became part of the small group, they became leaders. And he was reminding me of a particular moment where I talked to him about how he doesn't have to be a pastor. He wanted to become a pastor. I said, Christopher, I don't think that's the call of everybody. I think all of us are called to be disciples of Jesus, and that you can be the person that God meant you to be. First of all, as a husband. Secondly, as a father. Thirdly, he wants you to impact society. And thus, he continued and progressed along, and he wanted to share this with us over dinner on the 23rd. This was yesterday. This was last night, right? Last night, I had dinner with him and his family. And he's now one of the main managers for the World Bank, who's responsible for oil and gas for most of the world. But the interesting reason why they came was their oldest daughter. By the way, they have 7 kids now. So from the time I knew them, they had no kids. Now they have 7 kids. And the oldest daughter right in front there, that girl, actually, with an Austrian dad, was born in the Philippines. And she wanted to experience Christmas here. She wanted to come here and come back to her roots, so to speak. And she's now serving God. We actually asked her, what do you want to be when you grow up? She said, as soon as I graduate, I want to go into missions. That spirit, that peace, that understanding of the gospel, that I don't have to really do work for God because God has saved me and God loves me and God cares about me. Towards the end of the evening, I couldn't help but think about all the wonderful things that this couple represents and how God has empowered them to impact many lives. Some of you in this room are here today because of the leadership of this couple. And some of the other people, another night, he was telling me about how he was serving now in his church, in our Every Nation Church in Washington, D.C. Towards the end of the evening, we prayed for his daughter. And my wife began to pray for her and just speaking life into her and giving wishes that God would bless her the coming year. And I had a very interesting moment because while I was sitting there and listening to the prayer, I suddenly started seeing colors. And I was seeing predominantly two colors. One was a mint light green, and the other one was a light pink. And so I was trying to ask the Lord, what is this? And then the Lord spoke to me, and please understand, you've been here long enough to know I don't always say this. I don't say the Lord spoke to me. But this in particular moment, the Lord spoke to me and said, tell him that I'm about to give him infinite resources on his hand, that I'm about to bless him with infinite resources. And so after my wife's prayer, I turned to Christopher and his wife, Birkit, and I said, guys, I just felt like the Lord say, and I hope you understand, I just felt God wanted me to tell you that he wants to give you infinite resources in this season of your life. And he responded by saying, you know what? That really resonates with me because to travel and bring my 7 kids and my wife and I over here required a lot of resources and we had to believe God for it. And it's so ministered to him. And then I felt like after I said that, I didn't want to talk about the colors because it's kind of a little weird. So I said, "But and by the way, other than that, I saw 2 colors. One was green and one was pink. Light green and light pink. And so all of a sudden, they're all looking at me now like, what are you drinking? At that moment, it was all over. And one of the guys in the party who happened to be a member of the small group of Christopher and Birkin is that man with a hat. His name is Buji Layuk. He's a designer and a painter. And at the end of the dinner, he said, Christopher, I have a gift for Katarina. And it's a painting. It's in my car. And I'd like to give it to her when we get out of the restaurant. And he said, I'm going to sign it in front of her and blah, blah, blah. And I said, now, Buji, my wife also paints. I said, let's see the painting. So Buji pulls out his camera and opens it, and lo and behold, it's a pink and green painting. It was almost like God saying, when I tell you something, you do it. Amen? Amen. The supernatural becomes natural. The supernatural is not just colors. It's the reality that God is with us. The favor of God is not that you have a nice car or you have... staying in Singapore now, I have a BMW every day. I do. It's a bus, an MRT, and I walk a lot. It doesn't matter if you have a BMW or not. The favor of God is with you. Not today. Not on a date on the 25th. That's why it's not about the date. It's about the date. The person who wants to be with you every day. That's why it's supernatural. God saying, I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. Verse 10 says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. The Christmas story is not just about the idea of God being with you. It's about God having good news for you. There's a greater reason for why he wants to be with you. Because there is bad news. And the bad news is we're sinners. None of us. All of us have sinned. Secret sins, white lies, black lies, things that we're embarrassed about, things we fantasize about. We have all sinned. We have at some level cheated, lied, did some shortcut that we're ashamed of. There's always that nagging guilt, that nagging condemnation, that sense of unrighteousness, that sense of being dirty. And we have all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. There is no way of reaching God or reaching out to God or God even wanting to be with us. We're trapped with shame and fear because of a nagging sense of guilt. That's the bad news. And the good news is the angel said that it will cause great joy for you. Like those two words, great joy, the word megas, which means extremely large, extremely prolonged, not something that's joyful 1 minute, and when the battery runs out, you're no longer as happy. A joy that is extremely prolonged and large, it never ends. And the word charas, or which means joy that fulfills. There's a joy that makes you joyful in the moment. There's a joy that actually fulfills you. It causes you to rise up with wings of an eagle, knowing that God is for you and not against you. The good news of great joy was not just for a few people, but for all people. How many of you know there's good news that's good news for you, but bad news for others? For instance, when LaSalle won the championship, it was good news to the LaSallites, bad news to the Athenians. For instance, you're trying to sell this property and somebody else sold it, so you lost. Good news for you, bad news. But the gospel, Christmas, is good news for all people. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're rich. Doesn't matter whether you're sick. Doesn't matter what condition or state you're in. God has good news of great joy for all people. And that's an amazing part of Christmas. Verse 11 says, today, here's the news, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Your sins are going to be forgiven. Someone is saving you out of the clutches of that jail cell of condemnation and guilt, that jail cell of unrighteousness that you can't seem to get out from. Someone's going to save you. And the shepherds were overwhelmed by the news, because they've heard the Messiah story. Verse 12 says, there will be a sign to you. This was a unique sign. He said, this is the sign. This is what differentiates this thing. Your expectations might not be what it is, and you got to understand, when you get to this place and see this story, the sign is you will find a baby. You're not going to find the pompous king. You're not going to find the most egotistic of leaders. You're going to find a baby. You're not just going to find a baby. You're going to find a baby that's literally wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough, in a basically a food bowl for animals, which most likely has flies and insects and bugs and worms. And this king has chosen to stay there to send you a message that this is a humble king, a different kind of king, a king who loves, a king who cares. And the magic of heaven really is that. That God loves me, that God cares about me. This is the picture that we've all seen so many times. This is the picture I was trying to share with my friends in Singapore. The real essence of Christmas is that God became man. I told you the story about my grandson and holding him in my arms yesterday morning to the tune of the first Noel. And as the head of my household, I don't really like showing that I'm crying. But for some reason, with the tune of Noel and holding that warm baby in my arms, tears began to flow. It wasn't the usual, it's the thought of how good God is. And the reason why was because I was reminded of this verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. As we celebrate Christmas Eve today, I want to read to you what Christmas Eve looked like in heaven, the day Jesus Christ came to earth. The Father and the Son, together, the Bible says, when Christ came into the world, just before he stepped into leaving the comforts, the security, the peacefulness, the majesty, the glory, the myriads of angels that were serving him, and he was about to step into earth, where he could be wounded and hurt, where he was going to be in a manger. That choice, that knowing that he's about to do that. He's having this conversation with his Father. And he said to his father, sacrifice an offering you did not desire. There's no amount of sacrifice. There's no amount of good works. There's no amount of giving. There's no amount of generosity. There's no amount of action that you and I, there's no amount of reading the Bible that we can do that will please God. That's not what pleases him. Then it says, but a body you prepared for me, that the God of heaven and earth prepared his body for Jesus Christ to enter into that body, to come to earth, which was the one thing that would give God pleasure, that was we were to receive this gift freely. That God himself reached out to us and said, I want to bless you. I want to give you the best of all of heaven. I'm giving you my very own son. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. No amount of our striving, no amount of anything we do pleases God. Rather than, here I am, it is written of me, about me in the scroll. Jesus said, here I am, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring you pleasure. I'm going to take on this physical body. I'm going to come down to earth, and I'm going to allow mankind to harm me, and I will sacrifice the one sacrifice that will free them from their cages and the clutches of sin. I've come to do your will, my God. Magic of Christmas is not really, and the gifts are great. I mean, I'm going to receive from, hopefully, from my wife and children. But you know, more than all of that, the real gift is to know that the God of heaven humbly came and gave his life for us. More than that, he's a servant. I'm reading through the holidays the book of Pastor Steve Merle called The Multiplication Challenge. Pastor Steve is the founder of our church here. There's a chapter there where he asks the question, how do you define a leader? What does a leader look like? When I talk to the leaders that we find, the young leaders in Singapore and Indonesia, what does that really look like? And he said, in one word, it's called a servant. And that's who Jesus was. The God who chose to serve, the God who chose not to be the king in heaven who can control everything by remote, but actually came down and gave his very best to serve. And if you want to have a magical Christmas this year, begin to serve. That's the essence of what Christmas is about. Don't do it because you're going to win points from God. Don't do it because that will please him. Do it because that's who he is. And by the way, if you want to have peace this year for Christmas, serve your wife. You know, my wife's pointing, yeah, that's how you get peace this year, right? Seriously. Some of the wives should be shouting amen by now. Serve your children. Serve. That's how it works. That's how peace comes. The more you go out and serve others and not focus on yourself, the greater your peace comes. Serve. When the angels came, the Bible says a heavenly host. I don't really know what that means. All that means is that a huge amount of angels showed up. And they were announcing this to this shepherds, these outcasts of society, these guys who were not really wanted, and these angels were announcing the essence of why this is an important moment, that it's not just about a date, but the date, that it's really not just about, it's about good news of great joy for all people. And then finally it says, suddenly the great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace on earth. Peace to you. Peace is probably the greatest thing that you and I will never ever have apart from Jesus Christ. The peace and the comfort to know that, and every time you feel condemned, every time you feel a heaviness and a weight, you can step back in and declare that gospel over your life, and that peace will come upon you. When I landed on the 18th, my wife and I had to go to, actually my wife couldn't make it, so I had to go to this funeral. And I was in the Libingan ng mga Bayani, it's the funeral of one of our church members. He was a military general. He served as a general for our country. He's a bemedaled hero. He's a Vietnam veteran. He was a strategist for many of the wars in Mindanao. And he passed away, and he was one of our ushers. He actually served as an usher here. If you've ever wondered why our people are behaved, because our ushers are generals. And he recently passed. His name is General Honesto Esleta. And when I was watching the progress of the funeral, I was reminded of a moment in my own life that I think his family knows a little bit of. But sometime in 1983, I was invited to a gathering like this. My wife and I were sitting in the Intercon Hotel, and people were worshiping, raising their hands, and standing at the back, I was trying to be respectful, but at the back of my head, get me out of this weird people. This is what I was thinking. This was 1983. I was a reprobate, very worldly, very self-centered. All I wanted to was what was good for me. As I stood there, I was telling myself, as soon as this thing is over, I'm going to leave. Then the altar call came, and there were two men that walked forward. No one else walked forward. In those days, when they had an altar call, they don't raise your hand and pray. They actually make you walk forward. And when they walked forward, I noticed that one of the men was General Esleta. I didn't know him at the time, but I saw him walk forward. It was a few months after that that I would become a Christian. And I always referenced that day when I saw that man humbly walk forward. Never saw him again. Never met him again until one day he walks into our church and becomes a member. And I explained that to him. General, do you know that day that you were in the Intercon, the day you got saved, I was literally right behind you. And when you walk forward, I didn't know who you are, but I started hearing about you and hearing about your testimony. I actually heard his testimony from my driver at home, who was a military man who got into a trouble and went to jail for murder, and he was led to the Lord by General Esleta. That's how I heard that he had become born again. He was an evangelist. And I was talking to General Esleta about that moment, and he said, what led to your salvation? And he said, I'm a warrior, and I didn't have peace because I was bypassed. I was supposed to be promoted and didn't get promoted. Peace. Somewhere in each of our hearts, it doesn't matter who you are, you could be a general. You could be a wealthy man. You could be a poor man. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the promise of Christmas, is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. He said, that day I gave my heart to Jesus, and that day I became a Christian. And the peace of God settled inside of me. You will never experience external peace until you first experience the peace of God in your heart. And the peace of God begins with us receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord. When you have the peace of God in your hearts, you will not just have the peace of God, but you're going to have peace within, which means you're going to have peace of mind. You're going to have a peace with your emotions. You're going to have peace with your physical body. You're going to have peace that's inside and out. As a result of that, you can have peace with your wife. You can have peace with your children. You can have peace with people around you. The promise and the eternal gift of the gospel is not just happiness and joy, but the everlasting peace of God in our hearts. This is a final picture of General Esleta as I remember him. And I heard a story, just coming back to Manila, I never knew this, that one day he was preaching at a service, and he did an altar call. And the altar call, nobody got saved. Apparently, he thought nobody got saved, but in the shadows, there was one guy whose hands were raised because he was at the very back, and he didn't want to be seen. And as he said, would you please come forward, it turns out that the guy that got saved was his own son, who's now our pastor. It was an amazing moment watching Pastor Dennis talk about his father and talk about the peace of God. It's an amazing moment how I can't imagine how it's like to have someone die at Christmas time. And yet, as I watched his family, his mother, his siblings, there was peace. There was actually joy. It was actually an amazing moment just watching the entire family. The peace of God. The promise of Christmas is not just something we celebrate because of a date. The promise of Christmas is not because we are going to get good news of great joy for all people. The greater promise of Christmas is because we will have lasting, prolonged, eternal, never-ending peace. As I close, it's about a date. Set a date tonight with Jesus. Take a moment. Our tradition is we bring out a cake, we put a candle, and we sing Happy Birthday, Jesus. I don't know what yours is. God's empowered you to celebrate your own way. Secondly, it's not just about a date. It's about good news of great joy for all people. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you come from, where you've been, what's happened in your life. And finally, it's about peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that will guard your heart, that will guard your mind. When your mind is running amok, which is the tendency of every human being, when it starts imagining all the bad things in life, you can pray, press pause and meditate on the peace of God that is given you in Jesus Christ. Would you stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer? Just close your eyes. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Just be still for a little bit. The Lord wants to speak to you. There's some of you here today. This is the day that God's given you His good news. He wants to restore you into a relationship with Him. He wants you to have a relationship of peace with Him. He wants to bless you. He wants to shower you with His favor. And He wants you to turn away from your sin and acknowledge your need of a Savior. And if that's you here today, as every eye is closed, would you just quickly lift up your hands towards heaven? Some of you, this is the day. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Just keep it up. No one's looking at you. This is just between you and Jesus. And I just want you, in your own words, where you're standing right now, you don't have to come forward. God is with you. Just pray this prayer. Jesus, God of the universe, the ever-living God who came to earth to die for my sins, I receive you. I receive you as the God of my salvation. I receive you as the King of my heart. I acknowledge my sinfulness, my inability to save myself. But today, I have hope. I have peace to know that the God of heaven has reached out to me. It's good news of great joy for me, God. I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. For some of you, God brought you here today just to set you back in the place of peace, peace of mind, peace of heart, peace in your body. For some of you, your bodies are overstressed. It's just not working right. And the God of heaven wants to heal you. It begins with peace in your life. To know that God rules and reigns and He's in control of every facet of your being. Would you just lay hands in your hearts right now? God, just pray this. Lord, You are the Prince of Peace. And I'm asking You to restore that peace in my heart. May I not look to finance, to career, to people, to my own self, but to look to You For only in you will I have peace. And Jesus, I'm asking you, give me peace of mind. I acknowledge that much of my disease and sickness is because of my mind that's always worried. Heal my mind today with your peace that surpasses all understanding, that will guard my heart in you. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.